Hello. You're listening to Career Conversations, the latest series that's part of the Table Talk podcast from Food Matters Live. I'm Alicia Roche, a chef and food journalist, and together we'll meet experts in cooking, the environment, psychology, branding, social media, and all sorts as we learn about the surprisingly varied roles that go way beyond the kitchen. My guest today is Rocío Eguio, I hope I've said that right, a Spanish illustrator who has made her name in joyfully colourful graphic images of food and drink that you can find on magazine covers and websites around the world, including the lovely New York Post. Rocío started off as an architect but couldn't keep a lid on her creativity. She has always been passionate about food and colour thanks to her hometown roots of Alicante. She spoke to us from Switzerland, officially making this podcast very international and cool. And she was kind enough to share some lovely images that we'll put in our next newsletter. I'll be back at the end with some key info about getting into food and drink illustration. But for now, settle in and enjoy the podcast.
Where are you, in fact?
I'm in Switzerland.
Oh!
But I'm actually from Spain.
Wow, so you are really multilingual. That's fantastic.
I normally mix Spanish, English and French. So maybe I'm going to use some Spanish or French during the interview and it will be fine.
Because this is a podcast and people are listening with their ears and not looking with their eyes, I'm going to try and describe your illustrations. To me, they are bright, graphic, slightly geometric, lots of primary colours, very playful. Is that a fair description?
Totally, totally. It's colourful and joyful and bright. And that came because of my background and growing up in Alicante and the Spanish culture, Mediterranean culture. Also, my personality is quite, I'm quite an energetic person. And then the geometrical part, I'm sure it came from architecture, from my architectural background. So it was a perfect definition.
Would you say you are a food illustrator or do you still call yourself a designer or artist at large?
Recently, I've been using food illustrator like more and more because most of my projects in the past few years, they've been most of them related with food. It's also the projects that I enjoy the most. So I'm starting to put that tag on my CV or on my social media, or I'm starting to define myself like that.
You are commissioned by magazine editors, journalists, brands all around the world to illustrate their pages or their products or come up with their advertising. Can you talk me through some of those big food and drinks brands you may have worked with?
Yeah, so recently I was lucky to work with New York Times Kids creating like food illustrations. One of them was for during the Ramadan, was to illustrate what the kids love to eat at night when the fast is broken. So it was really fun and really interesting as well to learn that. The Washington Post as well, the first time we collaborated together was during the COVID time when delivery food was like kind of...
taking off, yeah.
Yeah. So we worked in a cover for delivery pizza. And yeah, and to have these, these amazing people, these art directors, first time I was contact with them, it was like, oh my God, I'm not ready for this. I'm going to do my best, but...
Well, I've seen what you can do and you definitely are ready for it. You're very open about having dyslexia. And even on your email signature, it says, you know, I'm delightfully dyslexic, which I love. Do you think being open about learning difficulties or anything like this can actually be a bit of a superpower instead of a hindrance?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's true that my relationship with dyslexia, I realized that I was dyslexic. I mean, I knew about dyslexia when I was 24, I think, already. So I was already adult and I was never pointed at the school as a dyslexic kid. So I think this was also a situation that helped me a lot with my relationship with dyslexia. But yeah, for me, when I knew that I was dyslexic and I knew about it and I read about it, it was like everything made sense. So of course, every condition that we have make us unique and special. So you have to embrace them. It's like, yeah, I'm dyslexic. At the beginning was like, what is this? What is going to happen to me? But I realized that all the visual capacity that I have now, it's because of that dyslexia. So you just need to see the things with the correct perspective. And you will realize that it's like, okay, it's not something negative.
Let's talk about your studies. You started off in architecture. Was that what you really wanted to do at first?
No. No, I always wanted to be an artist. But at the school in Spain, you have, when you are 15 or something like that, you have to decide if you want to go to science, arts. And in that moment, I was really a really good student, super nerd. Mm. And everyone was telling me like, artists, I mean, no, you have to study like a proper career.
Traditional kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I went to architecture. And actually, I really enjoyed it because I did architecture in Alicante, between Alicante and Lausanne. And it was really, really creative and really artistic. So everything I do now, I have learned to do it in my architecture studies. I don't regret it. It was just a different path to arrive to the same place. But it was really fun.
So who did you meet along the way who did encourage you with the artistic side? How did you make that happen for yourself? And who helped you get there?
Myself, I think. I finished architecture and I knew I was going to start directly working by my own. At the beginning, I was more like a graphic designer because it was closer to architecture and like a step in between. Mm-hmm. And I was already doing little projects for myself, for family, for friends. So when I finished architecture, I had like a tiny portfolio to build a website and to start showing a little bit what I wanted to do or what I wanted to become.
So because you're creative, I think sometimes people who aren't creative don't know how to price art. How did you know how much to start charging people?
I mean, I didn't know at the beginning. It was really complicated. It's also a process to value yourself and value what you do. So at the beginning, it's really difficult because I completely understand you don't have clients, you don't have big projects. And it's like, oh my God, if I send this budget, they are going to run. So now I've been doing this like 4 years by my own. So I don't see myself as an expert, but now I can say that I put the prices I want. I mean, first, I think you need to define the life you want to have and how much you need for your month and just do the numbers. It's like, if I want this level of life, how much do I need to charge for a drawing? How many drawings I'm doing by month? How many projects I have? How many clients? So the first thing was to really define the kind of life that I wanted to have. So
what kind of life do you want to have for yourself? Are we talking like luxury, traveling around the world?
I mean, I love to have the flexibility I have now. I'm a freelancer. I mean, I live in a foreign country, so I love to have the flexibility to go back to Alicante when I want. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my luxury for myself. And to enjoy my holidays and one thing I love to do is to eat. So one thing I have to pay for myself is going to restaurants and trying food all around the world. So this is also a big part of my budget of the month.
Yeah, that sounds like a good hobby to me. Please, can you talk me through the process of a commission to do with food and drinks? How do they approach you? And then how many stages of meetings are there before you get to the final pictures?
Actually, I'm going to use a project that is going to be recently released. And it's an smoothie book for a publisher based in US. So you normally receive an email from the client. In this case, we needed to define the contract, budget, pricing, how many illustrations we wanted to create. I mean, it's a book, so it's a book project, how many illustrations we wanted to create and everything. And once all is clear and the contract is signed, you start working. And I was saying that it was really fun because I received 40 recipes. No pictures, no images, nothing. And it was like, I was super like, oh my God, this is great. So the first thing I did was going to the supermarket. I chose like 5 smoothies recipes. I went to the supermarket. I came back home to cook all these 5 recipes to see the color, the texture, the ingredients, because there were so many ingredients that I was not really familiar with. to see the consistency of the final smoothie drink. So it was really, really fun. I only did 5 because 40 was too much, but it was really fun. So after that, you normally do a draft or a first approach idea. You send it to the client and you normally have a meeting to define if they like it, if they don't like it, if you are aligned with what they had in mind. And I normally do only 2 rounds of feedbacks after the first draft. It's creative work, so it's really important to always have the communication with the clients, because otherwise you can arrive with a final image, with a final project, and they could be disappointed, and you will be disappointed because you've been working like a lot on this. So I always like to do like 3-step feedbacks, like the first draft and then 2 more, to have this connection with the client and to be sure that both parts are going to be happy with the final result.
Wow, so there's a lot of back and forth before you get to that final result.
I don't do this with all the projects I have related with food. I would love to, but I don't have the time or the infrastructure. So normally when I work in editorial illustration, when I was talking about the Washington Post or New York Times or clients like this, deadlines are a week. They are super short. So you normally have a brief, which is super clear. They normally already know what they want. They have seen your work, so they normally attach in the first email, we love this, 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 this. We want the same thing, but with this topic or something aligned. And yeah, so you have the same feedbacks, but normally the feedback is like, could you please change that color, or could you please adapt that? So editorial illustration, it's super fast.
How do these people find you in the first place? Is it Instagram, social media? How do you get your portfolio noticed?
Actually, I'm really proactive. I'm really knocking doors. I send cold emails like a lot. Last year, I mean, now I stopped a bit, but last year I was doing 1 by day, just saying hello and sending my portfolio. And yeah, and so many projects that I have done last year was because of that.
Wow.
And if not, it's true that Instagram is a great platform to communicate your work and to get people to notice what you do. But there is so many people in Instagram, so sometimes it's difficult. I mean, I prefer to knock the doors of the people who I want to work with. So
it feels to me like the art world, illustration world is incredibly competitive. If you're a student listening, how can they get themselves noticed?
I mean, for me, I saw a change when I kind of found my creative voice. So there is so many people around, so many people on Instagram, so many people on social media, so many people sharing their work. But it's true that we are all different and we are all unique. So what I will say is, like, you really need to follow the things you like, to represent with your work what you love, what you are, and try to find your unique style and your unique creative voice and your singularities to project that in your work. And in that moment, your work will become unique, like you are, like everyone are, and you will be noticed because you will be different of everyone. So it takes a lot of work and a lot of time, but yeah, be patient because it will arrive. Yeah.
You've really developed a personal style that's instantly recognizable. How do you know when someone is copying what you do or just similar to what you do?
I think it's something difficult to say. I also copied people. So I think that it's a part of the process to finding your voice, because you don't know what you like, you don't know who you are, you don't know which kind of techniques you can use. So it's easier if you have someone that you really like their work and you can directly do something similar just to train yourself. So I did that like a lot, like a few years back. I never post them, of course. This is the thing you don't have to do. You can copy, but please don't post it.
You mentioned earlier that you love to eat out and you love food and cooking. What kind of stuff do you love to cook? And would we ever see you illustrate your own cookbook, maybe?
I would love that. My relationship with food came from my mom and my grandma. I'm from Alicante, Mediterranean, and in Spain or in that area in Alicante, I mean, yeah, in Mediterranean culture is such a huge thing to do Sundays family gathering, and you are cooking the whole morning, everyone in the family is coming, and everyone is sharing the table during lunch, and then we have a thing which is called sobremesa, which is like having desserts, drinks, and keep talking until dinner night when you grab some things again.
And then you eat some more.
So what I love to do now here in Lausanne is the same thing. I love to cook traditional Spanish food. I mean, I love it. Ah, my grandma wrote all the recipes to my mom when she got married. And I found them at my parents' place like 5 years ago or something. They are super tiny format, super cute, handwriting. And I use those recipes now. And I started to illustrate them. Like 2 years ago, I offered my family, my Christmas present for the family was some of these recipes of my grandma illustrated in a book that I printed myself and I did it myself. This is kind of the dream project I have that I never have time to do it. I mean, yeah, I have to do it someday. I do love, I have to do it. I'm going to do it. I will do it.
It sounds like you've already done a little mini version of it, and it sounds like there's great scope for it to become something else.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if any food publishers are listening, and I know a few, get in touch with Rocío because she's sitting on an amazing cookbook there. Everyone thinks the artist or the illustrator has an incredibly glamorous, creative, non-stop creative job. Is any part of your job tedious, boring, repetitive?
Well, it depends on the day. there are some days that they are like, oh my God. If you are a solopreneur, you have all the admin part, which is a big part of it that you have to manage yourself. It could be like less creative and less fun. But yeah, I know, I think I have found a good balance. For me, it's also really important to standardize process, like invoicing or how I contact people, have templates or mostly everything I use to communicate with my clients to do it like in a smooth way.
What do you wish you had known when you were a student? What would have helped you?
Ooh, so many things. I mean, there is one thing that I try to repeat. I mean, I repeat it to myself almost every day. It's like, you can fail. I demand a lot to myself. I'm super perfectionist. And sometimes I don't allow me to have a weekday or to have a day off or to just, you know, like do nothing or have a mistake. So it's something that, we are humans. So I would love someone to tell me like, hey, relax. Relax that you can be mistaken, you can fail, but don't worry, you are going to learn something, so keep going.
It's me again. That was Rocío, who, as you heard, is proudly dyslexic and has learned to harness her learning difficulty and turn creative thinking into a superpower. Now, if you want to get into illustration, having raw talent is obviously key. Practice and practice until you find your own style, and don't worry too much about what other people are doing. Keep your online portfolio fresh and definitely use Instagram as your showcase. If you're not getting hired for briefs yet, give yourself your own online drawing challenges, such as every meal I ate this week or foods my cat loves more than me, whatever you like. You might offer your first illustration to a blogger, a charity or a website or a small startup for free, but then start charging a day rate for your work. £150 a day should be your absolute minimum at first, going up to £250 once you've got some brand names in your portfolio, and £500 a day or more for a magazine cover or brand identity. Check out the Arts Council England website and also follow 1 Minute Briefs on LinkedIn, where you can enter competitions to get yourself noticed. Thank you again to Rocío, who is slowly developing her own cookbook of delicious family recipes. I can't wait to try those. And thank you for listening. Until next time, goodbye.